Welcome to E-commerce Scaling Secrets podcast. So on this podcast, we interview the best minds in online advertising and in e-commerce. And I share my personal experience spending over $40 million on paid advertising annually for our clients and their own business. So welcome to this podcast, guys.
Hello, guys. Alex Ferretto here. And today we have an amazing guest. This guy will just blow your mind, Isaac Porter. This guy is just wealth of knowledge. He helps entrepreneurs exit their businesses. He works with website closers. And actually, guys, if you're like considering selling your business, we'll have Isaac personally contact details so you can get in touch with him. But this guy has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs exit their businesses, structure deals like just from, you know, millions of dollars to like hundreds of millions of dollars. He will tell about his background, but there's a lot to learn from this because we had the previous call and I was thinking like, geez, man, there's a lot of so many like interesting insights that people can benefit from. Even like not entrepreneurs who want to exit their business like in a very like short term, but also people who want to position their business for the highest multiple when they sell it. So there's a lot to learn from Isaac, guys. I'm very excited for this. You should be excited too. And so happy to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. Thanks for having me on the show, man. Yeah, so I think you're exactly right. The planning for an exit strategy is probably the most important part. And sometimes, you know, we see that starts years in advance. We work with entrepreneurs who start businesses specifically for the intent of selling them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a strategy that can be replicated and repeated.
Is that the thing, like, does that like come with experience? Like people after building few businesses, they realize their mistakes, or can you teach someone like, hey, this is how we do it. Like from day one, the business is specifically designed for exit. Like
totally.
Day one.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I see in practice is most entrepreneurs, you know, after they've sold a business, they're like, well, what am I going to do now? I'm going to start another business. And then after they've had a successful exit, they realize, well, hey, if I know, when I start the business that my plan is to sell it, what should I do up front to make sure that it's the most valuable it can be, that I get the highest multiple, that I'm building a business with the attributes that buyers are looking for. And so then they start doing it over and over again. But that's a process that could be learned from the onset.
Wow, that's awesome. So basically from day one, you can work on things that would position your business for the highest multiple when you exit.
For sure. And you know, I'll maybe start off by just giving you and your listeners a little bit of,
I think that's like, yeah, because like your background is very, very impressive. So yeah, if you can share your background, like kind of like how you got to this point, that it's just very impressive.
Last time. Thanks, man. Yeah. Yeah. So I spent 19 years in commercial banking, middle market commercial banking, doing mergers and acquisitions financing.
So just like for people who don't understand, I'll be interrupting you, sir, about that.
No worries. Yeah.
So what is a middle market, right? I mean, yeah. I had the brief idea what a middle market is. Like most people don't know what's a middle market.
Yeah. So middle market, you know, you'll hear it defined differently, but the way that I would think about it is deals between, I worked with companies with revenues between 20 million and about $1 billion. And so the transaction sizes were from, you know, a few million dollars up to $350 million were deals that I worked on. And I closed about 150 acquisition financing deals during my career. Wow. As a banker, and, you know, just really, really enjoy that. I've always loved putting deals together, helping with the strategy, the planning, the capital structure. And then, you know, interestingly, three years ago, I started up an Amazon business. And I've got three brands that I private label and sell on Amazon. I've been growing that. You know, it's been really started as a hobby. I'm in the pet category, pet and toys, pets and toys.
You're working on those businesses, right?
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. So you know, started growing the Amazon store, and I was looking for a company to acquire. I was looking for another Amazon business to buy and add into my own Amazon FBA business. And through that process, that kind of acquisition search process, I found website closers. And website closers is now the largest internet and tech business brokerage firm for small business and middle market in the world. Wow. And I started looking at a bunch of deals on website closers. And I just got really interested in this idea of putting my M&A background together with my e-commerce experience. And instead of buying an Amazon business, I ended up buying a franchise of website closers. And now you know, this is what I do full time. I help entrepreneurs plan their exits, sell their businesses. I work with buyers to buy those businesses. We list a new business for sale on websiteclosers.com every day. Wow. And we've got, right now we've got over a million buyers, a million active buyers in our database that are shopping for deals. So, you know, the demand right now for what I'll call digital assets, e-commerce businesses, tech companies, SaaS businesses, the demand is higher than it's ever been. It, you know, throughout my banking career, I worked predominantly with private equity groups and family offices. And those institutional players now are really focused on e-commerce, and increasingly they're moving into this kind of this middle market and lower middle market space. Companies that are doing, you know, a million to a few million dollars in EBITDA, and because of that,
what is the reason like they move into this market? Is that because like that higher market is like there's not as many deals, there's a very big competition? What's the reason, or they just see the returns are like larger like with smaller deals?
Both. I think both. So first of all, there's more companies in that space. Mm-hmm. The growth rate on e-commerce, but you see it with your clients and your students all the time, right? The growth rates are exponential on these companies, and the margins are great. The overhead is low, and the scalability and portability of the business is huge. So the business models for good quality companies are really strong. There's an advantage for even a brick and mortar business that doesn't have a good e-commerce presence, rather than build it themselves, to buy an existing business and bolt it on to their brick and mortar platform. Or for what we're seeing, a lot of the private equity groups we're working with are doing these roll-up strategies where they pick a sector, pick a space. You know, we're working with, you know, a number of aggregators that are just looking for Amazon businesses, and they're acquiring
like,
you know,
Thrasio, dozens, like we talked
Thrasio,
about
it. Yeah, Thrasio, yeah. So Tapuya, Unibrands, we're working with a bunch of these guys, and they're actively looking for high quality Amazon businesses to group them together. And what happens is when you bolt these businesses together, they become worth more than the sum of their parts. The combined business, because it's bigger, it's more stable, the cash flows are more stable, is more valuable than all of the pieces.
So this is merger, right? Like if I understand correctly, this is merger. Like when you merge like several, like let's say you have pet business and you have another pet business, or like could that be merged as a businesses that are totally like unrelated, like, or only like related businesses can be merged?
So I think if they're unrelated, there's usually a strategic play there, right? So they've got maybe a brick and mortar business buys an e-commerce business because they want that access to that distribution channel, or an Amazon company buys a drop shipping business because it's in a similar category and they want, again, the difference in the distribution channel. So I think if, you know, what I typically see, look, anybody can buy any business they want and put it together, but the value is created when there's some synergy there. That's generally what I think, especially the professional investors are looking for, is a way to put businesses together, maybe take out some of the overhead cost, improve the margins, and therefore the cash flow becomes, you know, not just bigger, but more valuable. The multiples increase on those deals. But the best news for sellers right now is there's so many buyers and so much capital chasing those deals that we've seen the multiples, the exit multiples, getting pushed. Really, we can track the increase of these multiples on a weekly basis. It's a pretty exciting time. We're getting offers on companies that we're listing, you know, relatively small businesses. We're getting over asking price regularly. And because of that, we're being very aggressive with the multiples.
Asking price because someone just like wants that business so much.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, or there's four or five buyers that are bidding on it, and so the winning buyers have to make really strong offers to be successful.
Wow, this is awesome. So majority of the audience, like of our audience, like dropshippers, you know, people, like e-commerce entrepreneurs. So for example, for dropshipping model, like what do you see kind of like, obviously businesses like that model and specifically dropshipping, let's say from China, right? Like you might have had like some conversations with entrepreneurs like still dropship from China. Do you find those businesses like valuable? Like what kind of like multiples can be like, you know, you can get for those type of businesses? If business dropship from China, maybe it has like good customer experience, but let's say, you know, 7, 10, 12 ship like days for the shipping. So what would you say there?
Yeah, so for products that can be shipped by air, I think that you get more control over the supply chain that way, and really the logistics, and that mm-hmm. will improve the multiple. I think, you know, just with the issues we've had with COVID, I think everyone's seen supply chain disruption in particular in shipping. You know, we had the ship in the Suez Canal got turned sideways and blocked a bunch of goods. So I think, you know, drop shippers that have had their merchandise delayed by kind of these external factors, that's a business challenge, but that's a macroeconomic issue right now. I mean, I think a lot of people are dealing with that, so that's understandable. I think, you know, the key, I think, is being able to build a brand and differentiate. That will drive value in the business. So, you know, if in your drop shipping business, you're able to have brand differentiation, you're able to really build a customer base that's loyal. If there's a consumable product, I think that drives value for e-commerce businesses, because you get recurring revenue, you get repeat customers. And so that's one of the things that we do for drop shippers, you know, Shopify stores, Amazon stores, is we'll kind of crunch the data and figure out what the recurring revenue rate is, what the recurring customer rate is. It's harder on Amazon because the customer data is masked, but there's ways to do that. That we help our sellers with, and that drives the multiples. The margin profile of the business drives the multiples. The size of the business drives the multiples better. You know, generally, the higher the recurring rate, if there is a recurring rate, is better. The bigger the revenue the company has, more free cash flow the company's generating, the better, you know, the better the return on ad spend, you know, the SEO traffic, the more kind of organic traffic that the website's getting, that reduces customer acquisition costs. So all of those things go into the valuation that we look at. You know, and our expertise is that we've dealt with thousands of these transactions. And so we've got comps, we know what buyers are going to value, and we price the deals to make sure that we're getting the best prices for our sellers.
Okay, so brand differentiation. I want to build this kind of like stack of things. Like, so if we can give, you know, people some actionable things to work on, like, so for example, said brand differentiator, right? Like that can be like unique selling proposition, how product is different, or maybe experience is different, right? Maybe product quality is better than competitors, or it serves like a certain niche and dominates that certain niche. So we have that. What other things would you recommend entrepreneurs like start kind of like pay attention to, like increase the value of their business?
Yes, I think, you know, being really focused in on the margins, you know, I think in the early stages of business, you've got to be willing to reinvest constantly and spend on the advertising, right? You've got to drive traffic to your site. And that's a key for anybody who's running a drop shipping business. And so, you know, you can't be afraid of that spend. I think as the business matures, you know, ultimately what you'd like to do is see that ad spend is driving some organic traffic to the site, and that the marketing that your business is using is promoting a brand that resonates with people. And then, you know, over time that reduces the acquisition costs of your customer acquisition costs, and that's valuable.
Cool. In terms of like repeat like purchase ratio, do you have some benchmarks that you would recommend like entrepreneurs aim for, like 15, 20%, 30%? What is that benchmark where you see kind of like massive increase in value of the business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know that there's a bright line in recurring revenue, but, you know, generally speaking, if we can show that there's any amount of recurring revenue, right? If customers are coming back and repeating their purchases, then that's valuable. And I think when the product is consumable, when, you know, think about the Gillette razor model, right? Where the customers have to continue to come back and buy the razor blades. You know, if you've got a product like that where you can get kind of the subscription type of business, that's very valuable because those relationships are sticky and last over time.
That's awesome. So, you know, there've been like some of the acquisitions, you know, like what is more important, right? Like just the size of the market, like how many customers you have, what is the volume you have, or the profit is still like the king, and like this is what you have to optimize for to get the best price for the.
Yeah, I think cash flow is king. You know, what ultimately deals are based off of the you know, what we call SDE, seller discretionary earnings, which is the free cash flow of the business. And then essentially we add back all of the seller's expenses, right? So people run these companies and they of course have a bunch of personal expenses that run through cell phones, automobiles, and things like that are used. And so all of those, if the expense will be eliminated when the owner sells the business, that's going to generally be added back to the cash flow analysis. But so we'll complete that analysis. That'll give us a total free cash flow, total SDE of the business. And then we apply a multiple to the business. And the multiple, kind of the better the value drivers are that I talked about, we'll go through and kind of identify all the KPIs, the key performance indicators. We prepare marketing materials that kind of list all these things out for our buyers. And then the better the performance indicators are, the higher the multiple is that we'll price the deal off of.
Wow. So let's say someone like runs a business, right? Business generates, let's say, $3 million in sales and let's say 20% profit, right?
Okay.
And for the, like, so 20% profit would be like, let's say like $400,000 a year in profit. But entrepreneur wants to, like, let's say for an entrepreneur, like the minimum kind of like value that you'd be looking for, let's say $5 million, right?
Yeah, great example, right? So this happens all the time, right? We've got a company where they're generating $400,000 of cash flow. You know, we say, okay, I think your business today, let's just pick a number and say it's worth four times, right? So it's worth 1.6. But Alex, you want to sell your business for $5 million, right? So how do you bridge the gap? And this is where I think kind of this idea of getting engaged with someone who will help you through the planning process and kind of think about strategy, you know, you help entrepreneurs grow their business every day. And so I think it's really interesting to think about the concept of growth for a purpose with an exit strategy plan, right? So my business, let's say it's worth, and typically when we talk about values, you know, we're talking about a value range and a market read, right? Ultimately, the value of a business is going to be determined by the market. Whatever we're able to get a buyer to pay for the business is what the value is, but we're pretty good at coming up with a range of values. So I might say, hey, Alex, today I think your business is worth between $1.6 and $2 million. You know, if we were going to go to market today, we'd probably go aggressive and list it at $2 million. You know that your price is $5 million. So how do you bridge that gap? Well, if we think about kind of as the revenue stream increases on your business, the multiple should increase. So if it's a four times business today, then, and you want to get to $5 million, you know, I would say if you get to $1 million of free cash flow, $1 million in net income plus the ad backs, you know, we could push it out at a five times multiple, which would get you to your $5 million exit price. So now the question becomes, well, how do you grow your net income from 400,000 to a million? You've got to increase your business by, you know, over 100, basically 150%, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a reason to invest in additional ad spend. Now mm-hmm. when you're thinking about, well, how do I strategically plan my Facebook advertising spend, my Google ad spend, you're doing it with a purpose of, okay, I want to grow my business 150% in the next 18 months or the next 12 months. And so let's invest today in the amount of ad spend that's going to generate the revenue that I need to get to that exit price goal. Mm-hmm. We see all the time that one of the things that drives value that I haven't mentioned is growth rate. So a business with a strong growth rate is more valuable than a business that's has a slow growth rate or stable sales, because, you know, the thought is, if I buy that business and I can maintain that growth rate, of course the business becomes exponentially more valuable over time. And that's what buyers are looking for. You always want to sell. It will always be advantageous to sell. We could say sell on the way up. You want to sell a company as it continues to grow, because that's when you're going to get your highest valuation.
I've seen this done, like, with, you know, there have been like few people that my clients that I had conversations with, right? And they do their businesses to like $3-5 million a year. And, you know, I recommended them to sell the business at that point because it was growing so fast, and they didn't. And then, you know, there were issues happening, right? The business declines, and now, you know, the business is not worth that much, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. And we've got some case studies, and I talk about this a lot when I'm talking to people who are thinking about selling. I think one of the common errors is is waiting too long, right? Because of this concept of selling on the way up and getting a higher multiple for your growth rate, you know, it's actually you can achieve your optimal valuation before you achieve your maximum sales. And so that's interesting. The other thing that companies with strong growth rates, you know, we look at, and we will work with entrepreneurs to develop forecasts. So we'll on a number of our companies where we've got very strong growth rates, we're selling, you know, not on the earnings that the company has today or over the last 12 months, we're selling on pro forma earnings, and we'll often do a 6 month forward, 6 month back forecast. And so we're showing, you know, if we're going to market today, we'd be showing, you know, September, you know, it's April right now, we'd be showing September 2021 pro forma trailing 12 months. So we're gonna bill out a forecast, we're gonna look at that future date, and then we're gonna calculate the revenue for the last 12 months from that time in the future, whatever it is. We can go forward 3 months, 6 months, sometimes 12 mm-hmm. months if the business is strong enough. And in that way, the entrepreneurs are getting compensated for the growth that their company will achieve, you know, during the marketing process, because it takes several months to take a company to market and find a buyer. And so we want to make sure that the owners are compensated for the growth that they're going to get during that time period, and for the growth that they've created by the investments that they've already made. Right. So you invest in marketing and advertising today, and that drives growth into the future. And so, you know, the thought is that a seller should be compensated for that.
And you told me, I guess, last time we had a conversation, that let's say you had this pro forma, you have this like forecast. Okay, so the company will generate this much, this much, this much, right? And it takes like, let's say, 3 months, 6 months pro forma. And then like 3 months in, business still on the market, let's say, right? But then you have like, let's say business is going like exactly as you're forecasted, right? Or it's going even better. Then you have additional proof for the buyer that the business is actually performing as you said it will, right?
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And in some cases, Alex, we have businesses that are exceeding their forecasts, right? So they're beating their own projections, sometimes by a lot. And we'll pull those deals back and raise the prices and relist, you know, at a higher price. Or those are cases, and a lot of times, where we see really competitive bidding, and they're selling over market.
That's awesome. So, I mean, that is a benefit, right? Like that's a benefit of working with someone like you, that you understand all of these things that influence, right? And you're able to kind of like guide entrepreneurs in the right direction, or in terms of like they want, like, because the incentives are aligned, right? Like you guys charge your commission for all of the work you put in, like helping entrepreneurs sell their businesses, right? So the higher, you know, the more money like the company sells for, the more money you make. So incentives are completely aligned. And
totally. Totally. That's one thing. I think that's an important point. You know, we're aligned at the hip with our sellers. Our fee structure, you know, is generally set up on a tiered basis, so that if we kind of get to that aspirational price, you know, if we get you your $5 million price, for the company, in the example we were talking about, that's going to kind of kick us into the highest fee tier. And so, you know, we set that up so that, you know, our incentive is not to get a company to sell as fast as possible to collect the commission. Our incentive is to sell a company for the highest dollar amount, even if it takes a little longer. Now, if we have an owner that's really motivated or has a time deadline, you know, we'll be responsive to that. But we structure our deal so that we're really aligned at the hip with our sellers.
Do you have like specific niches that like specifically like very valuable, or like very fast growth pace, or it's like basically good deals are everywhere?
There are good deals everywhere right now. I mean, in all sectors, I think companies that are high quality companies, and I would define a high quality company as a company that's able to be sustained over time, a business model that's able to be sustained over time, is very valuable right now. And, you know, our niche at Website Closers is e-commerce and tech businesses. And so, you know, that's what we're good at. We do some brick and mortar, but that's not our wheelhouse. What our expertise is, and what, you know, the vast majority of the deals we represent are e-commerce and tech businesses, and there's strong market demand really across the spectrum right now. We definitely see trends of businesses that, you know, we've got really active buyer pools for, and so, you know, we'll look for those. But I think just across the asset classes within the tech space, there's incredibly strong demand.
That's awesome. So let's say, let's get back to the same example, right? Let's say someone does like 2 million revenue, let's say 20% profit, let's say $400,000 in profit. Like, so what is, because typically what happens, you know, from what I'm seeing, like entrepreneurs typically use their business kind of like to write off everything they can, right?
Yeah, totally.
Part of the rent, like the cars, like the lease, like the equipment, the computer, like, so obviously there's this part. So for someone who wants to sell the business, let's say if this year, let's say they've just like got all of those expenses, written off everything they could, should they wait another year and that next year just like minimize all of those things, like kind of like make that profit as big as possible? Or as you said, you can do it like on that like kind of a calculation basis that the business is actually more profitable than it is because of those kind of like extra expenses that went into it.
100%. That's a great question. I hear that quite a bit from sellers. Everyone runs all the expenses that are permissible by law, and sometimes more than that, through their business. It's right. It's one of the great advantages of owning your own business is that you get to deduct expenses and reduce your tax liability.
Right.
So we know this, and everybody knows this. Business owners all know this, and buyers of businesses certainly know this. And so, yeah, one of the things we'll do, and I do it on every single deal, is I go through line by line the income statement and find personal expenses, non-recurring expenses, and owner's expenses, and we add those back into the cash flow and make sure that they're being included in our valuation, in our market price.
So
you don't have to wait.
Okay. So the sellers are okay with that? This expense has happened but they couldn't have happened, right? Like they couldn't be, it could be like a profit of the company. The sellers are okay with this like setup? Not the sellers, buyers.
Oh yeah, the buyers are okay. I think what the buyers want to do is they'll want to verify, right? So things that we see all the time that, you know, every company has, right? Cell phone expense, automobile expense. I'm selling a company right now with, you know, the owner's got an airplane that is owned by the business, and he expenses
is that like Grant Cardone?
No, it's a small company, but you know, he's a pilot, and he expenses all the aircraft expenses. So it's a big number. Right now, a buyer looking at that, you know, they're not going to have an airplane. So they know that goes away. They might choose to have their own cell phones go through the company, but they know that that's going to go away. The automobile expense of the owners, that's going to go away. The owner's salary will go away. The distributions from the owner that the owners have taken will go away. So those things all get added back. I think what buyers want to know is they want to verify. And then this becomes a point of discussion in kind of the negotiation is, you know, which expenses the buyers are willing to give as add backs and which they'll push back on sometimes. But you know, generally in the way that I think about it is if the expense is eliminated with the sale, then it should be added back.
So at what level would you kind of like, at first, like from your experience, where do you see like it makes sense for entrepreneurs to start thinking about like selling their business, right? Because on some stages of the business, you better be focused on growth, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like growing the business as much as you can. But at what stage, like, would you say it starts making sense to kind of like sell the business because it just like becomes worthwhile?
It's different for, I think, yeah, that's a hard question to answer. Different. I think it's different for every owner, you know, because what's big for one owner might be small for another owner. But so it depends on your skill set. But I think that the general answer would be when you start to feel that the business is outgrowing your potential to manage it, then that's a great time to think about selling it or bringing in a partner. The other thing is that we see quite a bit is owners who sell a portion of their company. You can sell, and this is something that a lot of people don't know, but you can sell 40, 50, 60, 70% of your company and retain equity. And then you get a partner, maybe you get a private equity group to invest, you know, and buy, let's say 60% of your company, you retain 40%. Well, now they're funding the growth, they're funding the investment, they're adding professionalized marketing and management teams, resources that an individual founder might not have access to. And because of that, you know, the company might grow, might double or triple over the next 2 years. And the remaining 40% of the equity that you retained often becomes, you know, I'm using 40% as an example, but that remaining equity that you retained becomes more valuable than the portion that you sold up front. So you, what you get to do is you get to sell the business twice. And that can be really interesting for a lot of owners where they've got growth and they're realizing that it's becoming harder for them to manage and sustain that growth, and they need maybe more sophisticated team and services. That's a great time to bring in essentially a partner. Have somebody buy out a portion of your business, take some of your cash off the table, grow your business, double it, triple it again, and then sell the remaining portion.
Do you often deal with like entrepreneurs that are like burnt out? Like, oh, this is it. I want to just like, you know,
get rid every of day. Business. Yeah. All the time. Yeah. And that's a reason why people want to sell their business, right? They've poured their heart and soul, their blood, sweat and tears into the business for, you know, 2-3 years and stayed up working late. Maybe they've got another job, or they're running a couple different companies, and they're just like, I can't keep doing it, right? I can't keep growing it at this level through my own resources. And, you know, maybe I don't want to hire people. I don't know who to hire. And that's a reason to sell.
What is typical, like, that also probably ranges like for different companies, but what is typical like financing structure? Because when people think about like selling the business for $5 million, like oftentimes most of the time probably you don't get like $5 million up front, or do you? Like,
yeah, usually not in total. It depends on the buyer. You know, if your company is big enough to sell to an institutional investor, which a $5 million business would be, then you can actually get 100% of the cash at closing. They'll do all cash deals. We're seeing that increasingly. But it's not uncommon. We also deal with a lot of companies that are getting sold with SBA financing. So there's a bank loan involved, in which case, you know, 60 to 90% of the proceeds are going to come from a bank loan. That's all, that cash goes to the owner at closing entirely. But, you know, there's a different capital structure for every deal that we see. But the types, the components of those sources of capital would be bank financing on the smaller deals, generally from the SBA, cash from the owners.
It has a limit though, right? Like, what is that? Like $5 million or like
the loan? Yeah, the loan can be $5 million, up to $5 million. Yeah, uh-huh. I think it's technically $150,000 to $5 million for the loan program that most of our deals get financed with.
Is that still active, like the SBA program? Like, is that like the active loan?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, we do them all the time. There's even some incentives right now, economic stimulus incentives, where there are no payments required for, you know, 3 to 6 months after the purchase. So, wow. You know, you can actually recoup a large portion of your down payment before you ever have to make a principal payment. So, yeah, we're seeing a lot of SBA activity. Of course, you know, cash. There are seller notes where the seller actually finances a portion of the purchase price, and then earnouts are something where the seller gets paid based on the profitability of the company in the future, right? And so, you know, an earnout structure, when we're really kind of leaning heavily into those pro forma cash flows, the projections that we make up, then that's a reason to kind of bridge that gap with an earnout.
So your model is very interesting, right? Because everything is aligned with the seller, right? Like everything is aligned to get the maximum like price. And you also help entrepreneurs with, let's say someone selling the business, let's say $5 million, like $10 million business. And there's like very interested seller that, buyer that wants to buy that business. And let's say he has some cash, right? But let's say he needs some financing. Do you help the buyer to obtain the financing if you see that he's a serious buyer?
All the time. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, we've got partnerships with, we use e-commerce lending, and we've got partners, you know, not formal partnerships. We've got relationships, I should say, with banks. And so we will connect the buyer with a preferred SBA lender bank that we work with, and the relationships we have, these are banks that understand how to finance e-commerce deals. They really are different. Not all banks will do that. But we will connect the buyers, will help them get pre-approved for financing, so that when it's very similar to purchasing a house, when you think about it that way, you're buying an asset, and you can get pre-approved, and that way, as you're shopping for the perfect business, you know, hey, I can buy a business up to $3 million, so let's focus our efforts on that space.
So pretty much you're working both, like with both sides, right? You're working with sellers, helping them.
Yeah. Yeah. I will work, you know, we call it buy side and sell side. So I have, sell side are when I'm engaged with the seller and I'm listing their company for sale. And then on the buy side, there are other deals that I'll work with buyers and bring buyers to deals that are listed for sale and help them kind of through the offer and diligence process.
How is like overall like economic outlook, you know, from your perspective, you see like huge like demand for businesses. There's probably more demand than there is like supply. So you said like sometimes there are few bidders for the project. So overall, like right now, at this particular moment, how the economic outlook, like, is that like very positive?
It's super positive. Yeah, it's better than it's ever been before, Alex, because you know, there's a few things that are converging right now.
I mean, we just had COVID, right? Like, so the reason I'm asking, like, we just had fucking COVID. Like, is that like, wow.
So yeah, but that's you know what COVID did is COVID changed our infrastructure, right? And some of that change will be permanent. I mean, people are shopping differently, they're thinking differently, they're leveraging their internet to really make all their purchases. You know, of course, you know, there were companies that benefited, you know, kind of had a COVID bump. Their products were important during COVID, but there's a lot of companies out there that just that there's just so much more traffic to the websites because this is how people are shopping now. This is what the services they're looking for. And that, you know, my expectation is that will persist. That's something that's been a change in behavior that's based on COVID. During that same time, we've had record stock market performance. And so there are investors that have a lot of liquidity right now, and they're looking for ways to diversify their investments. And they're saying, hey, you know, stock market is at an all-time high. Let me take 20% of my holdings and invest in some smaller businesses, invest in a private equity fund. And then the private equity funds are investing in these businesses because they're growing quickly and they've got great profit margins. So yeah, I think the outlook is really, really strong right now.
That's awesome. Good. I mean, my point of thinking is like, it's been going up for the last like 10 years, right? Going up, you know, at some point it has to like come down. And whether that is like probably for sellers, like right now is the best like time to sell probably. Like, and for buyers, whether it's like the best time for buyers to buy something when there's like this, like increased demand and there's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, whether those prices, whether those small multiples are not inflated right now.
Yeah, well, there's pressure on the multiples for sure. You know, whether it's the best time to sell or not is hard. That's a prediction. It's hard
no
to say.
Knows, right? Like,
but I can tell you it's never been better. Right. So we know that this is the best time that's ever existed for e-commerce businesses to sell because there's more money chasing the deals and the multiples are higher. Will it continue to go up? I think it probably will continue to go up for some point in time. But to your point, it won't continue to go up indefinitely. So, you know, this is why we're having so many conversations with sellers because, you know, the values of their companies have doubled or tripled in the last year or 18 months, and it just all of a sudden, you know, you're the $2 million company is now worth $5 million, and you're within striking distance of that target kind of exit price. And so, you know, the other thing that happens all the time is, you know, in the example we talked about earlier where the company's worth $2 million, but the owner wants to sell it for five. When we actually go through the process of building out the forecast, with an owner and looking at the valuation over time, it's very common that you get to that target value, you know, way before the owner thought they would, you know, because there's a time for the sale process. We're looking at the pro forma earnings. And so, you know, what you think might take 18 months is really more like 6 months.
But now, like, I think what it helps to get this clarity, right? Like in terms of
absolutely.
What
yeah.
is like, specific goal I'm aiming for, right? And here are the specific things I need to do, right? So it gives entrepreneurs this clarity because a lot of the times I think like entrepreneurs do things like intuitively. It's like they just like run all the time. They do some, you know, different things. But now after this like clarity session, like you have these, you know, conversations, now you establish here's where you need, like your business needs to be. Now they have the list of specific things they need to work on. And so that's probably why it gets done faster, because they have this clarity.
100%. Yeah. And you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are goal oriented people. Why they've started a business. They've got a goal. But when you can quantify that goal, well, then you can also calculate what the return on your investment is that you expect. Right. So, mm-hmm. so why am I going to double my ad spend? Well, I'm going to double my ad spend because I know it's going to get me to this target that I have in mind. Mm. And that I think can be really helpful. It creates a roadmap for an entrepreneur to get to the exit that they want. And then, you know, it's up to them to continue to run the business and grow it to get to that point. But it's easier to get there when you know where you're going.
What would be your like piece of advice to an entrepreneur who's, let's say, like, done like $1 million and wants to get like $10 million? Would you like start planning for, let's say he wants to exit like a few years for like $10 million. Would you start planning for that now? Or like, would it just be like focus on just like growth and not think about it for the time being?
Yeah. It'll depend on the situation, the type of the business model and the kind of what growth they've had to date. But, you know, generally, I think it's helpful to break those goals down into smaller pieces, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to go from 1 to 10, you know, maybe you've got to set a target for 2.5 first, and then from 2.5 to 5, and then from 5 to 10.
Oh, okay. You chunk down the goals.
I think it's just easier to think about the kind of, because then once you kind of break the goal into a smaller piece, then you can think about, you know, action steps, to your point, tangible investments that you can make to get to those next steps. And then you create milestones for yourself. Otherwise it can become overwhelming
or too vague or too far, or it feels like, oh, it's like, it will happen someday, but you didn't have, wow. That's such a good point. That's like with everything, you know, I want to lose weight now with my trainer. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I try to like, hey, I need some, like, I don't know, some pills or some, I don't know, some devices or, you know, whatever. But all I need is like consistent, small, like, you know, training, like 3 times a week, change the food. That's it. You know, it's like, it's when you chunk it down into like smaller steps that are like achievable, it becomes so much.
Yeah. And that's true with so many things in life. Right. I mean, I've thought that about a lot of different, you know, my own companies and my own goals is, you know, I try to think about that, you know, envision the future that I want, right? And then mm-hmm. determine what gets me there, and then kind of reverse engineer that into what steps do I need to take that give me the best likelihood of getting to that point. And then it's very tangible of, then I'm just, you know, so that's the strategy, right? And then the tactical piece is, what do I do today to advance me one day closer to that goal?
But it comes with strategy, right? Like that comes with like, okay, the goal, and then the whole overall strategy. A lot of entrepreneurs are stuck in this like tactical mode, right? On a daily basis.
You're reacting, right? And so, yeah, that's natural, because you've got to put out fires every day in your business. You've got a shipment that's delayed. You got a customer that's upset. You've got an inventory that needs to be restocked. Your manufacturer ran out of microchips. You know, whatever the case is, and so you can get bogged down in that minutia. But if you've got a strategic plan in place and you've got a reason mm-hmm. to do it, then you're much more likely to force yourself to allocate time to take those tactical steps that advance your strategy.
Cool. I mean, guys, if you're looking for that like strategic advice and blueprint, if you have some goals, if you have already like established business, you want to exit it short-term or like long-term, just connect with Isaac. There should be like some contact details. You can get in touch with him directly. And, you know, you basically like, you don't charge, right? For like initial kind of like conversations, like.
Yeah, I don't. Everything is success fee based. So, you know, we get paid when the company sells. And I mean, I'm happy to engage in those discussions and talk strategically with owners. Maybe I should charge for that. But I get paid when I sell a business.
That's awesome. And I mean, it's like sometimes, you know, you'd have a conversation with someone like, and you would help them with some advice, right? 3 months, 6 months later, they come back to you, hey, I put all of these things in place. My business is now doing like this
much,
right?
I love that. Yeah. That's my, you know, throughout my career, I've those moments when I know that I've given someone advice and they've executed on it and they've become more valuable. Man. That's, I personally just enjoy that. And then, and then also when we get to take their company to market and sell it, then, you know, then I benefit from that, but it's, mm-hmm. kind of the personal piece of that, and you know, those relationships that I've developed over time are, you know, it's my favorite part about the job.
Cool, Isaac. Thank you so much. A lot of great insights, guys. If you have some questions, post them below. Isaac, if you have a minute, like you can check the questions the guys post below. And
hey, Alex, you know, I'll help your clients develop the strategy, and then you'll help them execute on it.
That's it. That's good. That's what we do. Yeah. I mean, and you know, for me, it's always like, okay, so what is the next step? You know, so we help entrepreneurs to grow their businesses, but what is the next step? And naturally, the next step when you grow the business is functioning, right? We help entrepreneurs to build the systems, like hire their teams. So next step logically is just to sell the business, right? And that comes with, you would provide like a lot of, you know, because you see those deals actually done like on a daily basis, right? You see what's working, what doesn't. So I think there's a lot of value that, you know, you could deliver to entrepreneurs from that side.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I agree. And really appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk to you today and to talk to you, your students and your clients. And, you know, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you guys for listening. If you need any help with kind of the blueprint, or you're already like at the moment, like ready to sell your business, we have quite a few of like seven figure, eight figure, you know, entrepreneurs who already thinking about that, right? I think it just like oftentimes people don't even know like that they can sell the business. You know, the business is profitable, they're happy with it, right?
Yeah.
But if you just think kind of like that, on top of everything that you've had, like all of those profitable years, now you can also have like the like big like payday for all of the effort like you've done.
And you think about it, if you can pull, you know, four or five times your cash flow forward, right? So you're getting paid at your close five, six, sometimes, you know, some companies with strong recurring revenue, we sold a company a few weeks ago for 22 times their
like offer.
Yeah. So, you know, if you can generate that type of cash flow from your business and then start another business, then every few years you're making multiple years of income, and that's how you can generate real wealth, massive wealth.
Yeah, guys. So get in touch with Isaac if you're interested in exploring this farther, and you're already in position when you're generating good revenue numbers, when take it to the next level exit at some point, then get in touch. And thank you for listening. A lot of great insights. Pleasure connecting with you, Isaac. And
always. Yeah. Pleasure talking to you too, Alex. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to E-commerce Scaling Secrets podcast. So on this podcast, we interview the best minds in online advertising and in e-commerce. And I share my personal experience spending over $40 million on paid advertising annually for our clients and their own business. So welcome to this podcast, guys.